Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Let's turn to that Psalm, page 555, if you're following in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 23. And as Bobby said, this is the third and final installment in this Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still or the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In an article I read earlier this week, Claire Finney, author of The Female Chef and Hungry Heart, How the Food We Eat Shapes Our Lives, she wrote this. The dining table is the stage on which so much of life is set. From first dates to weddings, first homes to family dinners. It is where we eat and drink, but more than that, it is where we communicate. The big decisions and subsequent conversations happen between mouthfuls, amid the clatter of cutlery and plates. In many of our homes, the center of the home is the table, whether the kitchen table or the dining table. It's where life happens. And if we were to choose a symbol representing important conversations, relationship building, big issues being discussed, generosity, hospitality, it would surely be the table. And I find it interesting that David, as he comes to the end of his wonderful psalm, brings it to a final flourish by saying this, you prepare a table before me. In a way, he's leaving behind the shepherd and the sheep analogy, and now he moves to another picture. He moves from outside to inside. He moves from a field to a dining room. He moves from a green pasture to a lavish banquet. And he moves to something that we can all relate to. He moves to a table. If in verses 1 and 2 we see the Lord as a shepherd and we are the sheep, and in verses 3 and 4 we saw the Lord as our guide and we are travelers or pilgrims through life, then in verses 5 and 6 we see the Lord as our host and we are his guests. This table is a table that represents God's grace. It is a table set for us. And do you note who sets the table? It is prepared by the Lord himself. It is prepared by him. As David reflects and meditates and thinks, how will I finish off? How will I close off this psalm? How can I give it a final supreme ending? What image conveys love and personal acceptance and the grace of God? And he thought, I know, a table. A table set for me by the Lord himself. A few weeks ago, Kay and I were at a wedding reception. And if you've been to a wedding recently, you will know that a lot of effort goes into weddings, a lot of effort goes into the reception, and a lot of effort goes into preparing the table. In fact, whole industries have been built up around preparing wedding receptions and the tables. The hosts, the bride and the groom and their families want to communicate through the food and through the place settings that you matter. We want to have you here. We love you. We want to give you the best. Let us celebrate together. And it is prepared. A lot of preparation goes into these kind of things. It's not thrown together. And it communicates love and joy. And so David chooses this image. An image of a table that is prepared for him, but also prepared for you and for me. I find it interesting that the Bible, time after time, presents this motif of a feast as the culmination of our lives, as it's trying to present the celebration, the joy, the ending of life as we meet with God. The picture that is given time after time is of a great feast. For example, in Isaiah, the great prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 25, it says, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all the people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.'" Or at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 19, John gets a vision of heaven. He says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" Time after time after time, God presents to us that the end of days will be like a great feast. It's interesting, isn't it, that whenever Jesus was telling parables about the kingdom, quite a number, maybe up to a fifth of the parables, speak of a great feast or a banquet that is prepared. And of course, there's the parable where the wedding invitations have been issued, but many turn them down. The point is that Jesus presents the kingdom of heaven in terms of a great banquet, a feast that will go on forever, and God is the host. Jesus himself was accused often of being a glutton and a drunkard, because they thought Jesus liked parties a bit too much. He wasn't the usual rabbi. And so as David comes to the end of his psalm, he reminds us that God likes parties. You prepare a table before me. And then the next little phrase says, "And it is a table," not just any table, "but it is a table in the presence of my enemies." David often had the experience as a shepherd of fighting off enemies of the flock. Sometimes it might be a fox or a wolf, maybe even a bear. David was able to fight off these enemies. But later in life, as David became a king, the king of Israel, he also had many conspirators and enemies, and people who were out to take his life. And so as he thinks of this image of a table, he says, "God prepares a table before me as a table of security. It's a table of God's presence, even in the midst of my enemies. I need not fear them, because God has this. God is in control." And as we live our lives today in the 21st century, in 2024, as followers of Jesus Christ, we will increasingly have enemies of the faith who will seek to undermine our faith, seek to undermine us, criticize us. We'll be in the minority increasingly. And so David, who has been there before us, says, "The Lord is preparing a table before us in the midst of our enemies." David Gibson's wonderful commentary on Psalm 23, he reminds us in this little phrase, "In the presence of my enemies," he reminds us of C.S. Lewis' story of Narnia. And in the Narnia Chronicles, this in a sense captures this scene that David is writing about. The White Witch is racing to the stone table where Aslan was killed, interesting, again, another table. And as she's going along in her sleigh or whatever with Edmund beside her, she passes a scene. And C.S. Lewis writes this: "And there was a merry table, a squirrel and his wife and their children, and two satyrs and a dwarf and an old dog fox, all on stools around a table. Edmund couldn't quite see what they were eating, but it smelled lovely. And there seemed to be decorations of holly. He wasn't at all sure that he didn't see something like plum pudding. As the white witch sees the feast, she recoils in outrage and says, "What is the meaning of this? Speak, vermin. What is the meaning of this gluttony, of this waste, of this self-indulgence? Where did you get all these things?" And so C.S. Lewis, in his Narnia Chronicle, is presenting to us this banquet, this feast of wonderful things. Many of us think of a Christmas dinner as kind of the epitome of a banquet. The Lord prepares a table for you. The Lord prepares a table, which is a picture of his love for us, of his lavish grace revealed to us in Jesus. And the invitations have been issued. And he wants you to be at that feast. He wants you to be at that party. And it will be awesome. And then David continues, "And at the table, he is anointed with oil. His cup overflows." And here again, the symbolism is rich. In that culture, not so much in our culture, but in that culture, as guests arrived, they were quite often anointed. Maybe their head or their hands were anointed with oil. It was a kind of a preparation. You're welcome in my house and at my table. And the word anoint here is an unusual word. It's not the usual one that is used in the rest of the Old Testament, but it has a sense of lavishness to it. The root of the word anoint here means to grow fat. Literally, it could be translated as, "You make my head fat with oil." In other words, it's a picture of lavish grace, of extravagance, of richness. God wants to anoint us, and his anointing is lavish. It's not meager. And of course, in the Bible, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. As we enter into God's kingdom, as we enter into life with Jesus, he gives us a great gift. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He pours out the Spirit upon us. We are anointed by his Spirit. And this anointing is a guarantee of our acceptance in Jesus. He sets his seal upon us. The Apostle Paul captures this very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership upon us. And he put his Spirit into our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." And of course, Jesus spoke about this, didn't he, in John chapter 7. He stood up at the feast. He says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." And by this, it says, he meant the Spirit. R.T. Kendall says, "Next to the gift of salvation and the sure knowledge that we will go to heaven when we die, the anointing is our most precious possession." David says, "My head is anointed, my cup is overflowing." It is the cup of the Holy Spirit. This is the seal, the guarantee of eternal life that we are given. And this cup is an overflowing cup. And it is in this sense of a cup that keeps on being filled even as we drink it. In another psalm, Psalm 16, David says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion. You have assigned me my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Therefore," he says, "my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So David is trying to encapsulate for us all the blessings of being a believer, to remind us of all that we have and the joy that is ours in Christ, and a joy that will not run out or fade, a joy that will increase as the days go on. And perhaps today as you're sitting here, maybe you're not feeling this. Maybe you're not feeling this joy. Maybe you're not feeling this sense of my cup runneth over. Maybe stuff's gone on in your life and maybe you're disappointed with God, or maybe you're bitter with God. Maybe you're going through bereavement. And it can maybe be difficult to recognize that this table is for you, that this banquet, this feast is for you, that this joy is for you, but it is. The psalmist asks in Psalm 78, verse 19, can God spread a table in the desert? Well, yes, he can. And if you're in the desert today, God can spread a table in your desert. And today you can know his joy, his peace, his love, his mercy, his goodness. And that finally is how David closes his psalm. He closes with this note of confidence and assurance in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy or love will follow me all the days of my life. Here are the core qualities of God's character. The qualities of love and mercy and goodness. They're surrounding us, they're following us, even pursuing us. Again, some commentators would say, and draw attention to the fact that it should be surely goodness and love will pursue me. It's the hound of heaven pursuing us day after day, week after week. And he keeps calling us home. Earlier in the psalm, we noted that it is appropriate to describe God as a shepherd because we are like sheep. And so often like sheep, we go astray. We get lost. That sin gene that is deep within us keeps leading us astray. And so the shepherd keeps calling us home, and the Lord keeps calling us back to the table. Remember the story of the prodigal son? And the climax of that parable is when God has the son coming back to the father. And then what does he hold? He holds a banquet. He holds a lavish banquet. That is a sign that the son has returned home. He has returned to Eden. He has returned to the Garden of Paradise. Revelation 21 says, behold, the dwelling place of God will be with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Many years ago, when I was a young Christian, I was greatly influenced by the work and the writing of David Watson. And as you may know, David Watson was greatly used of God as a great evangelist. He was a great man filled with the Holy Spirit. But he got cancer. And for many, many months, many people were praying that David Watson would be healed. And then there came that point where there was the recognition that he wouldn't. He wrote a book, Fear No Evil. And in that book, he says, when I die, it is my firm conviction that I shall be more alive than ever, experiencing the full reality of all that God has prepared for us in Christ. Yes, the actual moment of dying is still shrouded in mystery. But as I keep my eyes on Jesus, I am not afraid. Jesus has already been through death for us, and he will be with us when we walk through it ourselves. The Apostle Paul, as he reflects on death, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And the best image that David can think of is the image of a party, of a table prepared by the Lord. We're at home with him. The great Augustine once said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. God calls us home. He's the great shepherd, and he's always looking for the lost sheep, and he invites us to come into his fold. I wonder today, if you do not know the shepherd, maybe today will be the day that you give your life to him and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not in want. David Gibson says this, Psalm 23 is a song of praise to the God who has come to get us and to bring us home. The journey is long, so we need a shepherd. It is dangerous, So we need a guide, we need a companion, and it is wearisome, so we need a host. But the journey has always had an ultimate destination in mind, the restoration to the house of the Lord. Will you trust him today? Will you trust him with your life? Will you trust him with your family? Will you trust him with your work? Will you trust him with your health? He's preparing a table for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this lovely, simple, straightforward, and yet rich psalm. We thank you, Lord, that you present it to us, and you invite us, as we always do, as you always have, to trust you, to give you our lives, for you to become our Lord, our shepherd, our Savior. We thank you that in Jesus we have that wonderful picture of the Lamb who was slain for us. He took our place, he took our sins, he took our debt, and he died on a cross to set us free. So today, if we are a believer, may we once again have that vision of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. May it enfold us and draw us in. May we love you more than we have ever loved you as we recognize what you have done for us. Come, Holy Spirit, minister to us today. And as we leave, may our head know the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. May our cup be overflowing as we recognize that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And God's people said,